It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
You're an emotional, stupid bitch. Kill yourself. You're useless.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues on one of the most significant days in the history of our beloved game. So much has happened this week in and out of the game, but specifically today we also got our new bachelorette.
Yeah, we have been awake for 56 hours since this morning. Got up early to watch Good Morning America for the reveal of the next bachelorette. Claire Crawley.
We're going to get to her. We're going to discuss what that means, the implications of a Claire Crawley queenship. But first, we are going to talk about something that happened in Bachelor Nation with Chad Johnson, who you all may remember from
Bachelor in Paradise. Fuck you, Chris Harrison. He ripped Evan Bass's shirt.
He's a very maligned villain in our beloved game. And now on his social media, a lot of people have been following. He got into a fight with his girlfriend, punched a hole in the wall, took her cell phone and threw it on the ground. She called the cops. He was arrested. He then issued a giant apology, an explanation.
Said it had to do with drinking.
Then he started posting disturbing photographs on his Instagram of ropes saying it'll all be over soon. Things of this nature. People became concerned. And I read that he was checked into a hospital.
I mean, we can't lose him. He's in my dream paradise season.
I think he can overcome this. And I think...
And return to the game?
I don't think he'll return to the game, but he is, even on a day when it's the fucking Bachelorette announcement, he's still talked about in Bachelor News. He's probably the second or third most important story in the Bachelor world right now.
I find him to be one of the most compelling players in the last few years. I mean, terrifying, but...
Yeah, his play was interesting for sure, and we obviously wish you well. Please take care of yourself. We want you around for more of your fantastic play.
Yeah, and I want to, you know, maybe see where that relationship with his cute little dog goes. That was his mom's dog.
Sure.
Not as memorable for Bachelor Clues.
It's not really. Then we also had something interesting this week. Rachel Lindsay and Becca Kufrin do a podcast. It's the official Bachelor Nation podcast.
Bachelor Happy Hour.
Yeah. This week... they had on the Dark Lord himself. Chris Harrison showed up to discuss what went on last week in the show and how they treated Madison and why the producers put three women in that room together. And he essentially said they had to tough love them. They needed Madison to reveal she was a virgin. She wasn't doing it. And as he put it, you couldn't have the guy ask her that. Not in today's times where the guy's always the bad guy and he keeps saying all these things. Weird misogynistic things.
Yeah, like, oh, Me Too era type things. Like, I mean, Peter couldn't handle it. So the only way for us to handle this was we had to force Peter to make this decision by putting all the women together. And it's like, are you really asking us to believe that that was the motivation for putting them together? No, it's great drama. It gets ratings. I mean, it causes blowups. Like, I refuse to believe that it's anything else.
Of course not. Everything the producers do in this show is in service of only one thing. Destroying these people. Putting them in some kind of a hostile psychological environment so that they form quick bonds. Yeah.
Like Fleiss's movies. Hostile.
Oh yeah, we found out this week that Mike Fleiss, the creator and emperor to Chris Harrison's Dark Lord of our beloved game... Prior to this, he produced the fucking Hostel movies. I couldn't believe it, and yet it made perfect sense.
Just the logline of those movies scared the shit out of me. I won't say it, but if you're interested, look it up.
But yes, on this podcast, he essentially said that it was tough love to put the three final players together and force them into these conversations. It was all for Peter's benefit. He needed to know these things. And then he proceeded to shit all over Maddie, saying that she essentially didn't follow the rules of the game, and that's unforgivable.
And he directly compared her to Luke P. and was basically like, oh, if she was a guy, this wouldn't have been okay because she's sweet and young. She gets a pass. It was disgusting. the whole conversation, Lord Harrison was just saying some like super misogynistic crap, and Rachel Lindsay, who tells it like it is, and Becca Kufrin, feminist icon, just fucking laugh it up, agree with him completely, don't challenge him on any of the things that he's saying. It was hard to get through.
It's worth a listen. If you listen to any other Bachelor podcasts, try and check out that one, Bachelor Happy Hour from last week. It is, I think, an important piece of the overall understanding of what this game actually is, what are the ideas they're putting forth into the world, and how it's affecting us socially, or potentially even how it's a mirror of what is going on socially in America right now.
As the official Bachelor podcast, it is the producer's will. I mean, I feel like they're just promoting whatever the show wants them to promote.
Today, though, what they wanted to promote was something different. The Bachelorette.
What? Oh.
I was trying to segue.
Well, I had one more thing about that.
Please, go ahead. Sorry.
The other thing that really bothered me that he said was he was like, oh, none of the ladies were friends this year, and I think it's because of their age, because they can't be emotionally intelligent and form like a sisterhood and close bonds at their age. It was just so gross and like out of touch. And
beyond that, they are putting them in a pressure cooker of anxiety, guilt, depression. It forces out all of your worst weaknesses, everything that you have insecurities and anxieties about, and he's blaming them for not forming strong bonds. It's like, motherfucker, you put them in a position where that's impossible, literally impossible. The design of the game is such that you make it impossible for that to happen.
He also talks about a bunch of his buddies who are going through relationships like Victoria Fuller, and where it's just like, oh, and the passion is so steamy, and these guys like get in over their head. I had that after my divorce. We broke up multiple times. Like, it was just such a like pat on Peter's back type thing. And also, if you want some supplemental material to that podcast, go read the recent reviews. People are scathing.
Yeah, a lot of people are not happy. This podcast has a bunch of reviews, and prior to that episode's date, they're all pretty 4 and 5 star and like, oh, I love this podcast. Becca and Rachel are awesome.
Rachel
blah, blah,
keeps
blah, blah,
it
blah.
Real.
Then the reviews, there's maybe like 50 such reviews, maybe more at this point, of that one episode that are like 1 star, disgusting, deplorable, stop listening, blah, blah, blah.
But Lord Harrison is above the fray. I don't think he'll have to apologize for this. In fact, he's going to just take the moral high ground and school us on a bunch of shit tonight. Jesus Christ.
But before
I get
we
ahead
get
of
that,
myself.
Exactly. Before we get to that, huge news today. The new Bachelorette. It's Claire Crawley. She's 38 years old. She was on Juan Pablo's season of The Bachelor, where she kind of famously gave him a hand job in the ocean, and then he slut-shamed her for it the next day. She was on A Bachelor in Paradise.
Maybe two. And she was on Bachelor Winter Games, where she ultimately got engaged to Benoit, one of the French Bachelor contestants, and then broke it off a few months later. She is 38. It would appear that is going to be her theme. Pee-Pee had his planes, and Claire will have her dying physical body. Claire will have her cougar theme, I think is what we're going to see.
I definitely think she's going to be cougared. As of last Friday, she was at 326,000 followers. Today, she's at 514.
Wow.
So an almost 200,000 follower increase in a matter of the weekend. That's really just from today, from that announcement. So she's in the game in a legitimate way. It's likely that she could have a million by the time the first episode airs, because they're going to start doing media blitzes of her, and you'll see her on the cover of Us Weekly at your local grocery store, all that kind of stuff. For her to have garnered the crown after really years of irrelevance, even when she was in the peripheral game, nobody really cared about what she was doing. And I think the fact that she is 38 means they wanted somebody specifically for that. And they were just looking back through who are the people that we could actually use that are older. I truly believe the producers are taking this criticism of all you guys have are these young Instagram influencers all the time and saying, all right, we need to fucking divert it. I'm not saying the Instagram era of the game is over. I don't know if that can ever be the case, but it certainly is changing. And what we're going to see on her next season of Bachelorette, I think, is going to be the same game. You're still going to see PTCs. You're still going to, which will be fucking fascinating if it's an older player pool.
I can't wait. I really hope the player pool is much older. I think that'll be so much more interesting.
Well, floating around on Reddit, there is a post of a guy who was auditioning. The producers were interviewing him. They were going to have him on. And then when they decided it was going to be Claire, told him, sorry, he was 25. Sorry, we're going with older contestants. So that may be some clue as to what we're going to see on her season. But
luckily for him, he still has the confidence to move to Los Angeles. So he's still trying to use that to become an influencer.
And he may be able to do it. Who knows? If he can show up in some other people's pictures at Stagecoach and fucking Coachella and shit.
Oh, you gotta be at Stagecoach if you want to be in the game.
Yeah, the Claire Crawley Bachelorette Crown. I really think it's fascinating. It's a very interesting choice. I did not expect it. She was probably last on my list of the ones that I knew were in contention.
Yeah, I was definitely expecting it was Tia. If you want to see our reactions, they're on Instagram Live. Although they might have disappeared by the time this comes out. It's shocking. It feels like a risk.
What's the risk, do you think?
That like young people tune out or something. The people who are super into like Sluss and Maddie and like... It's bold to me like that she's much older than like any of the other bachelorettes too. The other ones haven't really been over like 32-ish.
But I think she still kind of embodies the spirit of the game, of the influencer game.
Yes.
You know, she may be 38, but she's still looking to get 1 million-plus followers and sell Sugar Bear hair care for the next 3 years. She still wants to do that.
I'm sure she's already selling shit on Instagram.
I'm not sure, but probably.
She had like 300,000.
And I'm assuming most of the male players will be coming on for the same reason. Now, if some of those male players are older, if they're in their 40s and looking to become Instagram influencers, I find that interesting.
Yeah.
We haven't really seen that. I also think there's a possibility you might see somebody on this season who does not have an Instagram account and uses that as part of their identity.
I think that would be a very good strategy. You say that early on, you're like, look, I'm here for the right reasons. I don't want to sell shit on Instagram. I think I could have a real connection with you. I think that would be such a good move.
And then you open your Instagram account the day you get kicked off the show.
Well, yeah, you start appearing in her videos maybe, and then you're like, well, I can do a YouTube.
Like I said, I think we're going to have all the same components. Raising of love levels, PTCs, Hooju? 38-year-old Hooju?
Someone commented on our Instagram and said it's a Cooju. It's a cougar.
Ooh, that's good.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
My worry is that they're just going to still cast basically a bunch of young guys and it's going to be the same. But I think there will be more of an emphasis on 4TRR. Like, I'm serious. I'm looking for my husband.
How much more of an emphasis can be put on it? That's literally, it's mentioned in every episode of every season.
I don't know. I'm thinking about Pee-Pee going, my wife is in this room. But he just doesn't seem to have the feeling behind those words. And I can see Claire conveying that in a much more intense way. I'm super excited. This was very shocking. It's like an Ari pick. It's like, oh, they have a couple people that are always sort of in the mix. Poor Tia, though. She thought she was going to be Bachelorette, and then Becca got dumped, and then she thought she was going to be Bachelorette again. She got picked.
Came close twice and never got it.
Claire. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this was probably her last shot at it, because the next Bachelorette will probably be from the next season of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Or maybe even from this season. Maddie. Still out there. I think she could still be the Bachelorette. I'm just saying it.
Do you think she would do Paradise?
Yes.
Bachelor Clues had a prediction this episode that Sluss would be first on the beach, and he called it first sand.
First sand is important.
Yeah.
It's who the producers are trying to build the longest story around in Paradise.
It's sort of like it's your own Bachelorette story in a way, because those people are always the front runners. Like Jade had first sand, probably Tia or Raven or
Hannah. From last season had first sand.
Oh, she was?
First female sand. First male was Belakai.
I'm interested to see how many animals they cut in to make it look like she's talking to them.
Somebody's going to show up in a fucking raccoon suit. Somebody's going to show up as a hand job in the ocean. Well, congratulations, Claire. We hope you wear the crown well. We will be watching, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So now let's move on.
Oh, do you think they will pick an older bachelor because of this?
No. Because I think the bachelor's still going to come from her season. And like you were saying, I think the guys are still going to be normal bachelor age range.
Peter Krause, they should bring him back. They probably ask him every season. Yeah, we look forward to your season, Claire.
And now let's move on to the game we saw tonight. The Women Tell All, a very special episode that comes just before the very end of each season. Why do they do it? What's its purpose?
You're bringing back all of these players to rehash their fights with the added element of they've all seen how they come off on TV at this point. And they all, this is their last chance to get followers. So they are all going to step up. McKenna stepped up this episode. You could tell she was like, I'm getting in there. I'm going to get in a fight. You're setting up your rivalries for paradise. You make PP face all of them.
It is certainly a last chance for you as a player to make some kind of impression to get the invitation to paradise. But why the show does it is to absolve PP. This is a chance for PP to stand before every woman that he has emotionally wronged over the course of our beloved game and for each of them to absolve him. I hope you find what you're looking for. I hope you find what you're looking for too. And now he can go into the final two clean as a whistle. They do it every season. And that ultimately is story-wise why they do it. What it's
they're
supposed to...
They're cleansing PP.
Right. They're giving him final closure with all of the various relationships that he might have had leading up to that point. So now he can go in perfectly clean.
There's a bunch of signs in the audience. We have, what, a Finasco, champagne stealer.
I don't know when they started doing this, but at some point they did. The opening of every Women Tell All involves crowd shots where they are holding up handwritten signs that are given to them by the producers of catchphrases from that season, or there were even people who had t-shirts with McKenna's face on it.
All the signs were the same font. Why would you do that?
Because it doesn't matter.
Matters.
People who are
it
watching it,
to me.
Of course it matters to us, because it's just one more piece of the fucking false lie that is being told to us. That these people are so enthusiastic about this, they stayed home to make signs and t-shirts and shit. This is just one more part of the lie.
So we get a little bit of the episode, which I was not expecting, which I always enjoy, because Women Tell All for me is not my favorite episode. Sluss is getting ready. She's choosing between her dresses. Everyone enters the rose ceremony and has to interview with Lord Harrison and tell him what love level they got to so that they can enter the rose ceremony.
Including PP himself. No one is above the final meeting with the Dark Lord himself. PP has to essentially kneel to him, expose his emotional vulnerabilities, and even question, did I do this right, my Dark Master? And all beautiful Dark Lord Harrison can do is smile and nod, knowing that he's going to drain these fuckers of their souls very soon, drink deep from their misery. Some of the creepiest moments of Dark Lord Harrison are in this exact thing, when it's being narrowed down to the last two, and they all have to fucking confide in him, and he's like, yes, I appreciate what you're saying. Cry for me.
Yeah, I know you're going to be the one that's cut, but that's great that you told him you loved him.
Not only that, the fucking, like, the thing they orchestrated in the beginning of this, where PP comes out, and it's just Victoria and Hannah. Maddie is not on the ceremonial altar that they've built for the dismissal. She's gone. And it's not because she's back in the hotel room making the decision to show up or not. It's because the producers are like, keep her in the fucking car longer. Go make him look out there and not see her. Let's get that fucking moment. Make those other two, the final two players, be like, oh shit, is she gone? They start to get excited. We even see a shot of Madison and Victoria Fuller side by side. They say this to each other. Let's get this show on the road. I'm ready. They are fucking elite level
athletes.
She's
late. She should be cut.
And they're expressing that small moment of like, I'm in this. If she doesn't want it bad enough, fuck off. It's so good. It's such a true moment of competition right there. And the producers have orchestrated it. PP is fucking crying his eyes out. I think she's gone. They made all this up. Why didn't they just have all three of them standing there? They generated something out of nothing. Just a fucking extra moment to twist the knife. This is the fucking hellish show we're watching.
I mean, they do time out the walk-in. Okay, Maddie, can we have you walk in now? Okay, Victoria, can we have you walk in now? I think this is my favorite rose ceremony. The closer it is to the end, the rose ceremonies get better and better because they're just forced to just sit in that awkward tension of being like, oh, he's going to pick between us now and give one of us a flower. And he's going to pick two of us and then have to be like, cheers to you both meeting my families.
It's fucking fantastic. But the nature of any kind of game of attrition like this, where it's a large number of people whittled down. In the beginning, all those players show up and they're like, let's see what happens. I know the odds are against me, but I think I can do well here. Everybody has at least that feeling. Some players this season, I think, had the feeling, I'm going to fucking crush this from night one, like Maddie, I think, and Hannah, I think. Both were like, this game is mine.
Sluss stole him 3 times night one.
I know. She's a fucking amazing player.
She was playing right from the very first moment.
She's an amazing player. But somewhere along the line, any of the other players who aren't just cutthroat, bloodthirsty motherfuckers, the switch starts to flip in your mind. It goes from, let's see how I do, to, holy shit, I think I have a chance here. That's somewhere around 6 players left. You're like, fuck. Could maybe do this. Once it gets down to 3, Victoria Fuller, who has weathered storm after fucking storm, is like, is this possible? She's experiencing probably what Trump experienced on election night. Holy shit, is this really happening? And then to be crushed like that, to have it swept out from under you.
It's terrible. It's great. We get a Lord Harrison Crest White Strips commercial in the mansion, where they make it look as if he's writing out date cards.
The conceit of the commercial is that the Dark Lord indeed lives in the mansion. And this is where he not only writes the date cards, including the fantasy suite, please fuck for my entertainment cards, but it's also where he shines his teeth up.
We get back to the rose ceremony. Victoria gets crushed.
But Sluss gets first flower. She got the Fimp Rose and the last first flower. You can't do it better. You can't do it fucking better. She bookended the whole season with the 2 most important roses that exist other than the final rose. If that's not dominance, what is?
No, it's hard to think of a misstep that she has had.
She's had none. A few cracks. A few pulling back from a kiss a little too early. A few fucking like, can't keep her smile on.
Yeah,
other
true.
Than that, but he's not seeing that. He's deluded by her sexy baby beauty. God, she's just fascinating to watch. Truly a born player. Not someone who had to work hard, but just raw natural talent out the ass. And everything that our contemporary game is looking for.
I can see her maybe being first sand in Paradise and then maybe aging up a bit to be in Bachelorette contention.
She needs to get
a redemptive arc.
She needs to take a few spins on the beach with Baylock Kai.
Oh, you know she's going to Stagecoach with a list of people she needs to fuck. Like a kill list. I bet Sluss does not go into Paradise without an agreement with someone beforehand that there'll be a couple.
Who gets the next rose? This is the final rose of the season, other than the last rose.
Maddie
gets it. And this was my play of the game.
Her getting the rose?
Her accepting the rose.
Ah.
There is a version of this where she doesn't, where she tries to be above the game. Her accepting that rose, I truly believe, ultimately, was a form of an apology to the game itself, to the producers, to our Dark Lord, saying, I'm still here. I had some issues with this, but I'm still willing to move forward. I still trust the process. And in so doing, I think it was conscious. I was going to say inadvertently, but I think it was conscious that she thought about it and was like, fuck, I have to stay in the game. You can't win the game if you bail out of it. You have to stay in to try and win.
So you're saying her Bachelorette ploy is that she'll be in final 2.
Yes. And then who knows what happens? She can leave him then.
Yeah.
Who knows?
She could be like, I tried to get over this.
But she set up a scenario where she might have left. The producers even played that story out. And here she is accepting the fucking rose. We all know she doesn't want to. She's doing it only for more screen time, and now she's going to be in the final fucking episode. She's going to meet Pee-Pee Mama again. It was a great play, I thought.
I mean, I agree. I was thinking more plays of the game from Women Tell All. In terms of this section, I would say yes, that was the play of the game. I mean, I had
Women
a contender.
Women Tell All's not really a game. It's more like an NFL combine, where the players are just kind of putting on display some of their skills, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of it. Just like, how high can you jump? How fast can you run? That's what we're interested in here.
But I think if you can make Women Tell All about you and craft a storyline in that, I think it's a very smart play. And I have one player who definitely did that. I thought it was a slight error for Victoria's exit speech to blame Maddie for them breaking up and being like, oh, Maddie said something to him that made him doubt us. But she did have tears, which conveyed that she was for TRR.
I thought her exit speech was pretty good. I didn't mind her even attacking Maddie, because what she's really attacking is somebody who is against the integrity of the game. And I think she probably knew at that point the producers were not cool with her giving the ultimatum. So she was just aligning herself with the show. I believe it's another implicit praising of the process. You have to fuck at Fantasy Suites.
That is giving her way more credit than I think she deserves for that. But
I'm not saying it was conscious. I'm saying that's the result of her play.
Yeah. Maddie does the cheers. She says, here's to seeing if love can conquer all. Doing the cheers is, in general, is a very good move. It conveys confidence. And it's basically like, oh yeah, this is my next round. What just happened and that emotional trauma that we all went through didn't faze me.
And it's guaranteed screen time. I loved that cheers. The look on her face, the way she said it, everything was just fucking crisp, on point. Fantastic. When they finished that toast and you see the shot of her and Hannah Celeste standing side by side, to me, this is LeBron James and Michael Jordan are going to play a fucking game 1-on-1. We get to see that. This finale, I mean, I don't know what happens. Dark Lord Harrison alludes to all kinds of weird shit. But I can guarantee you this. We are going to see...
He works in mysterious ways.
What's that?
He works in mysterious ways.
Indeed. I can guarantee you we are going to see some of the highest level play in a final game that we have ever seen in the history of our beloved game.
Do you think that both Maddie and Sus will try to leave?
No. I think they're both going to try for the ring.
What about bring her home to us? I feel like at least Maddie leaves. I don't know. I'm tricked. Who's bring her home to us?
BHHTU is a tough one. I stay up late at night thinking about it. Who is she saying? That's what love stories are made out of. I don't know who it is. It may not even be one of those two. Still, there's some piece of me that's Hannah, Brown or something. I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm extremely excited for next week. I think the level of play that we are going to see out of these final two is, I mean, it's going to set a fucking bar.
This was who I thought would be in the final two, because they have been consistently the best players. And sometimes not the best players don't win. You know, sometimes you get wild cards.
And then that's the end of the piece of the bigger game. We now cut to the live studio audience with our Dark Lord Harrison as a host, and we're into the women tell all. His opening jokes have to do with the word lingerie and finasco. He reminds us of the funny things that happen, kicking it off with a little bit of a light tone.
Aren't these young women stupid? They do an interesting thing, which is that they go to Lexi first for questions, which makes me think that Lexi's going to be in paradise.
Before Lexi, though, they do a quick montage of crowd shots, and this is where we get the strange shot of eight white college dudes sitting together in the audience, staring almost directly into camera with no explanation.
It is very jarring to see that, because the audiences are mainly women. There's occasionally a few dudes sprinkled in there, but there's never been a male panel like that.
Later in the episode, Chris Harrison says about those guys, the boys from Grove City College, they're super fans. Who the fuck are they? We need to launch a full investigation.
Is that a bachelor club or is that a frat at the city? Do city colleges have frats?
I don't know what Grove City College is. I don't know who these guys are, but I need to know that within 48 hours or I'm going to lose my mind.
Bachelor Clues does not have much of a mind left. We need to hold what remains. Please send us this information. My Kenna calls Marissa a night one girl. You went home night one. Why are you chiming in?
And they're all just fighting. They're all fighting.
It's Tammy versus Mykenna. I thought this was a really good move on Mykenna's part, that she's continuing to stoke this rivalry with Tammy. It sets them both up great for paradise. I will be very shocked if Mykenna's not in paradise. Tammy calls her 4TWR a bunch of times, says that she's there for the cameras and you'd always spread your legs. Weird slut-shamey thing. Says bullshit.com.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're definitely stoking up a rivalry. Mykenna certainly is going to be on Paradise. First Sand, no. But I think she might be in the first group. Yeah. She might be in the, you know, first 8 to 10 people that show up that day.
I was surprised they had Aaliyah in the back row. I think she's much more interesting than Lexi.
She'll definitely be on Paradise.
They interviewed Kelsey.
I think Aaliyah, by the way, may dominate Paradise. I think she may be able to play guys like fiddles.
I would love that.
Because Paradise is a different thing. It's not like The Bachelor. There isn't as much of a structured game. And I think her ability to charm people and manipulate is going to fucking do whatever she wants in Paradise, I think. I see her as the winner of Paradise.
I love that. They bring out Kelsey to the hot seat, talk about champagne a bunch. I am reminded of why I'm happy that she is not The Bachelorette. It's very dull. They bring out Ashley I to talk about how tears are okay. And Ashley I gives her the Tears Award, a giant champagne bottle.
I found this to be a fascinating moment in the history of our beloved game. They're kind of acknowledging that crying, that tears are really a part of the game. And the person who did it the best, Ashley Iaconetti, comes out to kind of pass the torch on to the new best crier. And so it sets up this idea that in the game, you reward crying. Next season, Kelsey will have to come out and pass off the giant bottle of champagne.
I thought it was also a consolation prize. Sorry you didn't have enough followers to be The Bachelorette. We have a commercial for the music show, which appears to be entirely Star Is Born themed. Then we get a segment, which I feel like they didn't do last season, but where Pilot Pete and Lord Harrison visit a bunch of Bachelor...
Well, you're skipping over Victoria's hot seat.
All I have is Victoria said she wanted to come on the show.
Essentially in Victoria's hot seat, which is the next segment, we see her recap, we see Chase Rice, we see Marissa Pence, and she essentially blames herself for the way things ended with Pilot Pete. She says, I wasn't open, he saw that, I tried to be. I think if I would have been more open in the beginning, things would have been different. Again, this is an implicit praising of the process. She is solidifying her spot in Paradise here. And then Lord Harrison brings up the accusations of homewrecking. Have you broken up marriages? Absolutely not.
And she says that Marissa, I don't know what she wanted. She probably just wanted to come on the show.
So just like all of the people sitting on the stage.
Yes.
Will we ever know what actually happened here? They just sweep it under the carpet in one sentence. And no White Lives Matter. No mention of that at all by the Dark Lord. They just pass right over that. Don't need to look here.
I almost feel like Lord Harrison wants to bang Victoria Fuller for how nice that edit was.
Well, he did say multiple times, you know, a lot of people don't understand why PP wants to be with her, but after spending so much time with her, I understand.
Then we get to the segment where Pilot Pete and Lord Harrison visit a bunch of Bachelor Nation watch parties. There's people dressed like pilots at them.
There are babies Sandies. Dressed like pilots.
Yes.
The infants made to wear the suit of the man who fucked four times in a windmill. There are so many strange things that happen at these viewing parties when you see children conscripted into the servitude of kneeling before the Dark Lord. It is some of the weirdest shit ever. And some of them, they even have babies where the Dark Lord Harrison will take the baby and like hold it and shit. Very strange, the early indoctrination into this culture, fandom of the fucking Bachelor. It's very similar to taking kids to football games, baseball games, whatever, I feel like.
Dressing them up in the little outfits. You're making all the themed snacks for the party.
But also, these people are alerted to the fact that they're the camera crew is going to come to their house. They know that's happening. It's not really a surprise.
Yeah.
And this woman in the first visit who has the popcorn, she's like throwing it all over in the air, is really overacting her level of surprise. But it's fucking hilarious, I think. But these are there's something different, though, about these viewing party excursions this season.
Uh-huh.
Sweet Nums and Daddy are coming.
We've never had the parents of The Bachelor come on these. It is the most screen time we've ever seen for the parents of The Crown. It's so fucking weird. And they also add in this segment where they imply that Num Nums and Pee-Pee's dad are fucking in the back of the car.
Where do I even fucking begin? Pee-Pee is known for sexual prowess. We've even seen in the last season of Bachelorette, he fucked four times in the windmill. Woo! We cut to the audience and we see his mom, Sweet Nums, cheering and clapping for this. there is some kind of thing going on with, like, chip off the old block, apple doesn't fall far from the tree happening with this segment that they're showing, like, his parents fuck everywhere too. It's a fuck fest in this family.
Do you think that is an attempt to show how he and Maddie are incompatible?
No, I think it's that they like the parents so much. Yeah. In that podcast, the Bachelor Happy Hour one, Chris Harrison multiple times said how much he loves Barb.
He compares her to Meryl Streep.
She's given them this line, this bring her home to us, that they keep playing in all the promos. It's become a thing within the Bachelor fandom. Because she gave that to them, this is like a reward. We're going to give you a little comedic segment. That was written, it was acted. They obviously weren't fucking in the back of the car and, like, snuck away from the entire fucking production of The Bachelor when they're going around and doing remote shoots in people's fucking houses, and two of the people who are supposed to be there just disappear and no one fucking sees it. Wrong. Never happens. They put them there, they scripted that, and they chose to edit it into the show.
They wanted to convey that Num Nums fucks. I made a comment without thinking about it where I said that some of these Bachelor viewing parties put more effort into their Bachelorette night than we do. Bachelor Clues said, do they? I realized we have costumes and scripts in ours, and we are putting way more actual effort, even though they have standees and windmill cookies.
I guarantee you, every motherfucker who hosted one of those viewing parties right now is asleep. We are recording this fucking podcast, and we're not even done.
It is 11:52 p.m. Back at Women Tell All, we get a blooper reel of everybody being silly. We get to a scene in which a little troll man with his face blurred out, who did not sign the waiver to be in this, wanders up behind Pee-Pee, and that was my Jorge Moreno bystander of the week. Next, we get a new segment that we've never had before, which is, well, we've sort of had it before. In Bachelor in Paradise, Lord Harrison sat everyone down after the rape allegations and gave them, like, a Schoolhouse Rock talk on rape and consent and drinking, etc.
I felt that this was a little different than that, though. It's something that they are now doing on the Women and Men Tell All, kind of the effects of social media on the game component. They did it with Lee Garrett. Here's your problematic tweets. And then they made him and Kenny hug it out and solve racism.
Thank God we solved racism. That was so helpful.
They did it with Garrett Yermogaryn or whatever. I always forget his last name.
Egeri. I don't know.
The guy that wound up with Becca Kufrin, he had problematic tweets. They brought them out to do that. There's some aspect of how these people's social media lives catch up with them, or that they've done something bad, or just how it affects the game generally. And I felt like this was the next step in that. We are, of course, talking about, they bring out Rachel Lindsay to discuss how all of the players this season have been extremely bullied. Hate speech was levied against them. She attempts to give us, as a viewing audience, a better idea of the strife that all of these players go through once they get in the game and people start attacking them on social media.
They've got somber lighting, and Rachel Lindsay reads out the tweets, and most of them are racially toned. And Rachel goes on to explain that this isn't criticism, this is hate. There's a bunch of messages telling people to kill themselves, and a bunch of them were sent to Sydney, and they talked to her about it. I get the feeling that this is conjecture, but I think probably Sydney submitted these tweets and messages to The Bachelor in order to cover this, and that was my play of the game.
So you manufactured a play of the game. That play may not have actually happened.
I think that Sydney, like, took this moment.
You're imagining events that may have never taken place, and then you're like, but that was the play of the game. If it did happen, it's the play of the game.
Okay. No, oh, it did happen. I'm 95% sure it happened. I think that she handled this conversation and, like, basically made herself the spokesperson for, like, talking about bullying in this moment. And to me, it was the standout performance of the Women Tell All was Sydney speaking on race. So I think she, like, set herself up to get better placement in Paradise with this.
Certainly, it was an attempt to make all of the players of our beloved game look like victims, which we know is very important to the Dark Lord Harrison. You are rewarded, usually, if you're a victim. I felt that it was a way to just make all of us feel sorry for them.
It's such bullshit. They give us this whole lecture on bullying, mostly about racial stuff, and then they never address the White Lives Matter controversy with Victoria Fuller. It's such bullshit. If you're going to have a conversation about race, you need to include that.
Oh, yeah, and maybe you should also include the fact that you've never had a black bachelor. They didn't talk about that at all. Huh, wonder why.
I mean, they hint at it when Rachel says, I had never been represented on the show. That was fucked up to me.
To me, the bottom line is, no one should ever be saying these kinds of things. Those are deplorable things that were sent to these people.
Yes.
However, there's one simple way to never see them again. Get rid of your Instagram account. Get rid of your Twitter. Go off social media. It's part of the fucking game, unfortunately. The Faustian bargain all of these players make with fame is essentially what you see in the show. You will get the fame, but with it is going to come some emotional duress. That's just the nature of fame. There's no real way around that. Anyone famous deals with threats, with horrible things being sent to them. And to say, because we're on this show, just trying to find love, we should be exempt from that. It definitely felt like I was being preached to. What the show wanted me to feel from that segment was sorry for all of these people. Yeah. And I simply can't do that. Beyond how sorry I feel for them for being in the game. But again, as one of the greatest of all time, I'm going to say it, said, we knew what we signed up for, Hannah Sluss.
Yep, I am complicit. They're not going to have an actual honest conversation about race and the things that the show is doing to promote racism. The show is basically saying that, like, a black bachelor isn't good enough. You're implicitly encouraging those messages.
No, I agree with you. That's 100% correct. So anyway, after that,
we see just preview of PP's week. He's crying. By the way, guys, we did not see Bring Her Home to Us, but we are still accepting submissions. We would like you to tag us in your Bring Her Home to Us Instagram stories. And we may be compiling them. If you'd like to do an impression of num-nums. Why do I keep calling her num-nums? Sweet nums.
Yeah, get it straight. It's sweet nums. Yeah, it was an interesting episode. An interesting women tell all. I think my MVP was probably Mykenna. Mykenna was my MVP. MVP.
Mykenna was also my MVP.
Yeah, she played pretty well tonight. Certainly inserted herself into enough stuff, was very relevant, got into the fights, had some good shout down moments where she's like, I'm not taking your shit, stood up for herself. And we got to see that she's very animated. We got to remember, like, oh yeah, she would be fun to watch on TV again.
Both her and Sydney, to me, really stood out. None of the other players stood out at all, really, in terms of being like, oh, those are some personalities I want to see back on Paradise. I mean, maybe Alea talked and they just cut it all out. But Alea's the other person I think would be most interesting to see on Paradise.
Oh, you know what? I'm changing my Jorge Moreno bystander of the week. Mine was the Grove City College guys.
You're doing multiple? You made me pick last time.
Okay, mine was the lower right corner in God. The... eight-person section.
I know who you're talking about, and I want to kill myself because I know which person you're talking about.
Mine is that guy. And if anyone out there can find any information on these people, please send it to me. I'd love to know more. I am curious. I will say that. I'm curious about what the fuck that was.
It was so glaring to me. I took a picture of it before they even addressed that, like, they were there specially for something. I was like, I've never seen this many men in a...
It seemed
in
almost...
In a bachelor audience.
It seemed almost Proud Boys-y to me.
Yes.
And I'm like, is that true? Am I just putting that over it?
Is it because they were all white dudes? I had an instinct that they were religious based on nothing. I wonder.
Find the information for us, please.
Thank you for completing our very long Bachelor Day, Bachelor Monday.
God, what a day it was. I still can't believe Claire Crawley is Bachelorette.
Mind blowing.
Well, we wish you well, Claire. and we hope that your reign is a good one. But yeah, thank you, everybody. Please keep sending us the tidbits.
I hope Claire changes the game. I hope Claire...
Game ain't changing for nobody.
I hope she does some bold moves. I want to see some interesting play from her.
The structure of the game can't change. She's still going to have to give out a Fimpros. Every guy is still going to have to get through night one. You're still going to have to up your love levels. Do a PTC. There's still going to be an international round. There's still going to be a two-on-one. All of those components of the game will be exactly the same. The only thing that might change is the age of the player base.
What if she picks all single dads? All of the hometowns as she meets all of these children.
I'll see something like that.
Thank you guys for joining us. It's been a pretty big episode. Good luck editing.
Thanks. What's the dwab at?
It has been 6,553 days without a Black Bachelor.
And counting.
That's the sign I would hold up in the Women Tell All audience. Reveal the dwab. You cowards.
You get up to the front of the line with your dwab sign and they're like, what's dwab? Oh, days without a Black Bachelor. Oh, sorry, you can't come in. Or they just replace it. Here, why don't you take this Finasco sign instead?
Yeah. God, I just wish there was just a little bit. It's not hard to change the font and then make it look like it could be conceivable that these weren't handed out to them.
But that's never the...
They're having us believe that those people all made their signs.
I don't even know if they are having us believe it. There is something visually striking about that kind of artificial feel in that studio. All the people are wearing similar kind of clothes. It's kind of like a business casual.
They tell you to wear jewel tones.
Perfect. So they tell you to wear a specific color, a specific style. They give you signs that are all kind of vaguely similar. It's the representation of an adoring audience. It's not an actual adoring audience, just like the show itself is a representation of falling in love. It's not actually falling in love.
Well, they record all the reaction shots before they even shoot the episode as well. They're like, oh, okay, now do a shot where you found something surprising that someone said. Now do something where it's a little sad.
Yeah, so they don't even use the real reaction shots. They use the acted version of them.
Anyway, I am way too deep in this.
I think next week is going to get deeper. I can feel myself descending. I can feel a dark energy pulling me down into a layer of the pit that I did not yet know existed. And I think next week I hit the bottom.
Someone messaged me about how we should name this point in the podcast when you are like, what the fuck are we doing? Da-da-da-da. And I suggested clues is blueses.
Oh, Jesus. It's much more than blueses. It is a self-loathing so extreme that I question the nature of my fucking life. How did it come to this that we're sitting here at fucking midnight recording into two microphones our thoughts on this fucking reality show?
There will be three microphones. If any ex-players want to come on the show, though, we have a adequate setup here at Gore HQ. We're ready. Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in and joining us for some of our Instagram Live Q&As and rituals.
So next week, the Dark Lord has promised us two horrible nights of pure misery back to back. So we are only going to be doing a podcast after the Tuesday episode, which will be out sometime Wednesday. It's just too much abuse. I have to draw the line somewhere.
Yes. We draw the line. We have our humanity.
Barely, but we do. Thank you again, everyone. And until next week.
Praise be Lord Harrison.